I'm going to try and run this race with all this weight on my back. Well, I'm not going to get very far. I'm not going to do very well in the race. And I've been looking at my Christian life, and I've been thinking, Ray, there's things that you need to, you know, deal with in your life. Things you have to take to Jesus and take to the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, the Christian life, it's tough. It's not just a series of rules, do's and don'ts. It's a life of power. It's a life of holiness. It's a life of purity. It's a life that I cannot live. But you know, the Lord knows that, and He gives me His power. He gives me His life. He gives me His Holy Spirit to enable me to run this race. And I want to run it. And maybe as I unpack this bag tonight, you can identify with some of the things in it that are holding you back a wee bit too in the Christian life. And I was thinking at the beginning of this year of a wee verse in Philippians where Paul says, but one thing I do, he says, forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. So we'll see how we get on tonight. I'm going to start unpacking some of these heavy things that are slowing me down in the race. And I just hope that the Spirit of God will use this sweet illustration tonight to help you, encourage you in the race as well. Let's take out some of the weights that are holding me back. And I'm going to put them out before the Lord tonight. Maybe you'll be able to guess what some of these are. All right, here's the first one, the letter H. Anybody think we could guess what this heavy weight could be that's holding me back in my Christian life and holds a lot of people back? It begins with H. Anybody have a guess tonight? Hell no, no. It's a painful thing. Hurts. That's right. Hurts. That's my first weight tonight. I'll put it on the table. I'll try and not crack your nice glass top. All right. Hurts. You know, the wee Helping Haiti single, it's number one. Hope you've downloaded it. If not, download it tonight. On top of what you've already done for Haiti, download the Helping Haiti single. Keep it up at number one to raise millions for Haiti. On top of what you've already done for Haiti, of course. Everybody hurts. Now, Simon Cowell got together all the artists to make this lovely song, and all the proceeds go to Haiti. So you've got Westlife in it. You've got Susan Boyle in it. You've got Cheryl Cole, Miley Cyrus. You've got Take That. You've got all the stars singing together this lovely song, Everybody Hurts. But how true that is. Not just the people of Haiti, but the people of Scotland as well. The people of Motherwell, the people of Paisley, Christians or non-Christians, how true it is that everybody hurts. There's nobody in this hall tonight that has never been hurt. And maybe you're going through hurts even at this moment. And the Lord Jesus knows about those hurts. And He cares. He cares when everybody or even one person hurts. Now, there are so many hurts. Just to share one little hurt tonight. Today's my mother's birthday, or it would have been, but she died a few months ago. But The sad thing is that 30 years that we lived in Motherwell, she never once came to see me. Never once in 30 years. Isn't that amazing? And neither has my dad. He's still in Belfast. And I don't believe he'll ever come, you know. We get hurt by family. We get hurt by our friends. Friends at school. Friends in the club that we go to. Our neighbours hurt us. Our friends, Christians, people in the church, we hurt each other. And everybody hurts. And the Lord understands and He cares about all of these. But I realized, you know, here's a thing that I need to be careful about in my own life, that I don't allow these hurts to hold me back in the race that the Lord has given me to run. You know, Joseph, I love Joseph in the Bible because Joseph was a man who knew all about hurt, but he was able to overcome. We'll come to him in a wee minute. Of course, our lovely Lord Jesus, no one knew hurts like he did, you know. Absolutely perfect, absolutely holy, never offended or did any wrong. And yet, how they hurt him, how we hurt him, because it was you and I that nailed him to that cross. It was our sins that took him there, wasn't it? And he hurt terribly. Love hurts. We poster hangs in our church. It says, love hurts. And there's a crown of thorns on it. And our Lord Jesus knew all about hurts. I have to hurry on. I've got loads of these. T. What could this be? Trials. Good. I'll give you that one. Troubles I had. Right. Troubles. Trials. Right, okay, this goes along with hurts, of course. And Joseph, we mentioned a minute ago, Joseph was able to say, you know, that God has made me forget all my troubles. Isn't that beautiful? God has made me forget all my troubles. Look it up in the book of Genesis, it's beautiful. And all my father's house. Joseph was hurt terribly at home. And then after his brothers sold him, he was hurt terribly in Egypt, you know, as a slave and working in Potiphar's house and falsely accused by Potiphar's wife and flung into prison and forgotten in jail all the years he languished in that prison. And Joseph knew all about troubles. And then his brothers came. He was made. And Zaphnath Paneah, the savior of the world, and his brothers came for food. You remember, Joseph by that time was second in command of Egypt. Joseph was able to say, God has made me forget all my troubles. That's beautiful. What an encouragement. And I want to be like Joseph. I don't know about you. It doesn't mean that the Lord gives you a mind wipe and totally blanks out the past, so that you can't remember it. It's not like that at all. Nor is it just that time heals. Time is a good healer, but that's not what's meant here. It means that the Spirit of God so worked in Joseph's heart that instead of being absorbed and occupied and crushed down by these troubles, he was able to leave them aside and get on for God with all the things that God had for him to do. Here's one D. What do you think D is? It's a big long word. Disappointments. This is a good class tonight. I think you're university standard tonight, aren't you? Disappointments. Okay. All of us have known, maybe even today, big disappointments. Disappointments. And as we go on through life, and we face things, the knocks, the hurdles, the hurts, the troubles that come pouring in along the way. If you thought the Christian life was easy, it is not. It's not. And join the human race if you're going through disappointments, because they come. They come. They come all the time. Disappointments. They come with hurts. They come with troubles. Disappointments. Things that you really wanted to happen. You longed for them to happen. You prayed for them to happen. And you know what? They didn't happen. Things you dreaded would happen. You said, oh no, anything but that. Well, you know, that was the thing that happened. That's what took place. And you say, Lord, Lord, have you forgotten me? Lord, what's happening here? Lord, look what's crushing me down. The disappointments. And there are many disappointments through life. Disappointed with our friends. Disappointed with our families. Disappointed with ourselves. You know, why did I mess up like that? You know, you get so frustrated with yourself. I know I do. Am I the only one? I don't think so. You say, why did I screw that up? You know, why have I made such a mess of things? How could God love me? Look at me. You know, and I'm meant to be a Christian. I've taken a stand at work. I've taken a stand in my community. I've taken a stand for the Lord. I'm a church member. And look at my life. Do you ever get disappointed with yourself? I do. But the Lord loves me. And the Lord cares for me. And the Lord wants me to hand over to Him all my hurts and troubles and disappointments. Does that mean they all just disappear in a flash? No. But I want to make a point of handing them over to Him and asking for Him to work in my life and to help me to be rid of these things so that I can run the race, be light and run the race that He has for me. And to forget what's behind and to press towards what's ahead for me in 2010, 2011, 2012, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come back. I don't want the past to be holding me back. Let's see what's in the sack as well. Oh, there's loads of things here. Loads of things here. Oh, here's another one. This is quite a hard one. See, I've called this clangers. Clangers, you know. Clangers that you drop. I don't know if you're like me, but I put my foot in it a lot, you know. Ah, just on the phone the other day, it was a lady's voice. She said, this is Margaret. And I said, hello, Margaret. And I'm talking away to Margaret. But it's not the Margaret I think I'm talking to that I'm talking to. It's a totally different person. And I'm saying all these things and mentioned her daughter's name and everything. And it was totally wrong, you know, totally wrong. I was talking to another Margaret, and Trixie said, you've put your foot in it, you know. And it wasn't a big sin or a big awful thing, you know. It was just a clanger, you know, when you put your foot in it. You know those times when you do something silly and you just say, oh, if only I could have that moment over again, you know. Oh, I'm so ashamed. I'm so embarrassed. Why did I do that? What will they think of me? You know? And sometimes when you're a speaker like I am and you go about speaking and sometimes you say something in your message and you think, oh, and you think back, or it's even worse if you get somebody records you, you know, and you play it back and you hear all your mistakes. I don't mean, Graham, you should stop recording tonight, but you know what I mean? You can make mistakes. And sometimes, you know, I get this dream. I'll tell you, I get this dream. I wake up with a cold sweat. I dream that I'm preaching somewhere. It's a big hall full of people. And I get up to speak and my mind just goes blank, you know. I don't know. I'm just standing there staring at the people and they're staring back. And my mind has gone blank. I just don't know what to say. And I get so scared and I just run off the platform, and I'm not going to do that tonight because I'm remembering, I've got my cans, I know what I'm saying tonight. Here's another one, that's the clangers. Oh, here's one, this is a big one, I owe, it's not about money, I owe Anybody think they know what I-O stands for? I-O. If. If is the first one. If only. If only. Oh, here's one that holds you back. If only. Oh, I would go for the Lord if only I was 20 years younger. If only I could live my life over again. Hey, that might be great, but you know you can't. You cannot live your life over again. You cannot become young again, you know. You young folks, you can't wait till you grow up. See, when you grow up, you want to be young again. Isn't that amazing how life is? Isn't that funny? But you know, if only. And people are saying today, Christians are saying, I would serve the Lord if only I had my health, if only I had my strength, if only this, if only that, if only I was single, if only I was married, if only I wasn't married to her, you know? And we just live in this circle and cycle of if only. And you know, I met a lady the other day and she said, I've wasted 30 years of my life. Wasted it. Jake and I have just come to a point, we've just done 30 years for the Lord and we're saying, we've done 30 years service. And I think of that wee lady has wasted 30 years. But all is not lost. It's no good that wee lady. I should have said to her, but I didn't. I should have said to her, okay, you've wasted 30 years, but you can live for Jesus today. You can live for Jesus tomorrow. You'll maybe not have 30 years, because she's in her 70s. But you might have 5, you might have 10, you know, you might have 20, who knows? And you can give these years to the Lord. But you know, it's an excuse. If only. If only I could go back. We cannot go back. But here's the beautiful thing about the Lord, you know. If you give Him your life today, He restores the years the locusts have eaten. That's beautiful. It's in Joel in the Old Testament. God can restore the years the locusts have eaten. And if you only live one day for Jesus, He can make that up to 30 years service. He can. He can make it equal to that. I don't know how, but He can. He's a wonderful Savior. You know, He's a wonderful God. And He can turn things right upside down. And He can do things. He can do miracles. Impossible things. You know? Don't live in the if only. If only I could go back. I was saying to a friend the other day that I'd hurt, I was saying, if only I could go back, I would do it all differently. They've forgiven me. They don't want me to try and go back, but I can't anyway. But you know, we cannot go back, but we can go forward. And this is what it's all about. This is my text tonight. Forgetting what is behind us. Forgetting the past. God doesn't want us to live in the past. To live in the hurts. To live in the if-onlys. He wants us to live for Him today. And to go forward. And to run the race. S-T-W. Oh, what do you think that is? S-T-W. I held this up in a church recently. And I said to them, it's too hard for you. So I told them what it was. And a man came to me at the end and he said, I knew what that STW meant. But you told us, you didn't let me guess. So I better not tell you tonight. Anybody want to guess? Pardon? Start the way? No, that's quite a good guess. Yeah. The first one is save. 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 Save the world. This is a big burden for me, you know, as a preacher. You know, I think that I need to save the whole world, you know. I think that I need to get involved in every crisis that there is, you know. And get involved in Haiti, get involved in Afghanistan, get involved in Iraq, get involved in the Middle East, you know. Get involved, save the world, save Scotland, save Motherwell. And you're going around absolutely exhausted, trying to save the world, and you think, I can't even save one person, never mind the world. And then you realize that this is a big weight that you've got to give to Jesus. It's not my job to save the world, you know. I couldn't save the world. I couldn't save one person. I couldn't create a star, you know. But He creates millions of them. And He saves millions of people, you know. In every tribe, and every tongue, every people, every nation, they're all going to come, you know. And they're all going to sit down in the kingdom. And it's all His miracle. It's all His miracle. So I need to stop trying to save the world. I need to stop trying, you know, every wee thing that goes wrong. You know, I can be running here and there to try and put this right, put that right, keep that person happy, keep this one happy. Oh, there's people there, there's people here, and you're running around, there's a need, there's a need, there's a need, there's a need, there's a need. And you can be absolutely frazzled. Is God speaking to anybody tonight? Is He? Well, He's speaking to me. That's my life. I've been trying to save the world, and you know, God showed me just recently how wrong that is, you know. And you know how He told me? He showed me Mr. Noah. Mr. Noah. Now, terrible things were about to happen, you know. The world was going to be judged. People were going to die. People were going to perish. And what was Mr. Noah supposed to do? Run around here, there, and everywhere and preach and try and save the whole world? No. God gave him one thing to do. And I like my wee text tonight because it says, one thing I do. I like that. God gave Mr. Noah one thing to do. Noah, you build a boat. You build a boat. And so, what does Noah do? Run around trying to save the world? No. What does Noah do? The one thing that God asked him to do. The one thing that God asked him to do. And when Noah did that, God graciously gave him the souls of all his family, and God graciously gave him all the animals and all the creatures, and God saved him and his family and all the creatures. And it was a miracle. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. And God cleared it all. And God started again with the human race. And it's beautiful. And Noah didn't get frazzled. And Noah didn't have a nervous breakdown trying to do all the things that he shouldn't have been doing anyway. And God had already condemned the world. They weren't going to be saved. And Noah had a job to do. And that's what I want. I want to be like Mr. Noah. I want to be like Mr. Noah. I want to find out and do the one thing that God has called me to do. And not go around with a big long face. Because I'm trying to do the impossible. I'm trying to save the world. And that's God's job. Okay, very, very quickly. I want to leave 5 minutes at the end because Trixie's not with me, but she's helped me put a wee presentation together, and it's just going to play for 5 minutes at the end after I pray. So, but just very quickly, as we think about the race, I was just thinking, there's a teacher in England, his name's Dan Martin, and I was reading about this race that he set himself. You know, he wants to be the first man to swim the Atlantic Ocean. Now, that is fantastic. I thought, wow, 3,000, he's starting in May, 3,600 miles swimming. Wow, girls, think about this. I know you're great swimmers. He's going to swim the Atlantic Ocean. 3,600 miles. That is absolutely stunning. It's going to take him about 4 months or something like that. Absolutely fantastic. Swimming for, I think it's 8 hours a day. And because of GPS, you know, he can have a sleep and then the boat can go right back to where he got out of the water. So it'll be an accurate swim from Nova Scotia to Brest in France. And he's a bit worried about sharks, and bad weather, but what an encouragement. Here's somebody that's going to press and strain and strive for his goal, getting that swim done. the first man to swim it. I pray that he'll do it. But not only that, once he gets to France, he's not going to stop, but then he's going to get on his bicycle, and he is going to cycle right across Siberia in the coldest part of the year to get away to the Bering Strait. Absolutely fantastic. And then he's going to run all the way across Canada back to where he started. So it's a world triathlon. Absolutely fantastic. And it's going to take about 18 months. And I don't know if he's going to raise a lot of money for charity. Probably will do. But absolutely fantastic. And I thought, wow, here's a guy that's going to just have with him the bare minimum, you know. He is going to, like the wee verse in Hebrews that says, you know, that we've got to just throw aside, you know, every weight, you know. Put aside everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us and run, you know. The athletes, you know, in the old days when that was written at the old games, they would run absolutely naked. The runners would run the race absolutely naked because they didn't want anything weighing them down in the race. And so God has told us, you know, in his word that he wants us to lay aside all these things. And here's some more things here. These are just wee cans and I've scribbled wee things on them. And I've just called these, not got a letter on that. I've just called these my successes, you know. People have said to me, Ray, you're gifted. Wow, that's great. It comes from God if I am, right? You're gifted. You've got talent. You've got qualities. And I've seen over the years, I've seen successes. I've seen people come to know the Lord. I've seen big meetings. I've seen people coming forward. I've seen God move and God bless. I've seen the community stirred up for the Lord. And I've seen wee miracles happening. And you know, there have been a whole lot of things, and when I go back in my thoughts, I can remember them. And you too, you can go back in the past, you can remember good times, you know, when things really happened, you know, when you got some good news, or when, you know, when you were really blessed in some way, maybe when your children were born, or your grandchildren, or, you know, the day you got married, or, you know, something the day you passed your driving test, or something really exciting. And, you know, we can look back maybe in the church. We can look back days when this church was really filled to capacity. And we look back sometimes and we say, oh, the good old days, you know. And we look back and we say, oh, for all those good old days again, you know, I wish we could go back, you know. We forget that those days are gone. They're gone forever, you know. And those successes are gone forever. And we don't want to dwell on them too much and let them hinder us. I don't want my successes to hold me back and say, Lord, well, this was happening then. I wish I could go back to 1987. That was a great year. Things were happening. People were getting saved. People were getting blessed. There was a real movement of God. And you know, but we can't go back, you know. We can't let these things that did happen way back then, and even the good things, yes, it's good to remember them and good to thank God for them, but we can't dwell there, or they become a weight to weigh us down, and we don't want to live today because today is hard. Or we don't want to think about the future. Ah, because the future is uncertain, you know. Oh, what's going to happen in the church over these next 10 years, oh, it's scary stuff. Is it going to get less and less? Are the doors going to close? And you know, we can get a little bit panicky. But we need to get to that point where we just can lay aside these things in the past and even all our successes and just put them behind and concentrate on the Lord and all that he has for us. He's still on the throne. He's still as power to save. He's still Lord of all. You know, he still does miracles. He can still bless you. He's doing a new thing in your life. You know, he's not passed you by. It's not all over for you. You know, it's different now. It's different. And oh, my kids were still in the house. You know, the empty nests. syndrome, and parents get lonely when their children leave the house, and we can get depressed when changes come. Maybe we retire and we lose a high powered job, and we wonder what we're going to do with ourselves. Maybe you've not got a role. You feel you've not got a role anymore. Or maybe you leave school or leave university and you're unemployed and every day, you know, trying to find a job, filling in forms, making phone calls, getting all the rejects through the post, or maybe you're in a difficult job or a dead end job, and you just say, Lord, why are you keeping me here? I remember just before I came to Motherwell in the late 1970s, I was in this what I thought then was a dead end job, and I was praying every day in that job, Lord, take me out of this place, you know. It was a big showroom. We sold Citroen cars, and I just hated it, you know. I hated that, you know. The boss used to say, Ray, get their jackets. Don't let people out the door. And the salesman used to tell so many lies about these cars, and I knew they wouldn't even start, you know. And they were, the lies that were told. And I said, Lord, get me out of here. You know, I don't want to stay here. And he kept me there 3.5 years before he let me go. And it was a discipline. I learned things there that have been with me and have helped me. I learned about human nature. I learned about wheeling and dealing. I learned a lot of things the Lord taught me that have helped me, have been with me and helped me for the years ahead, the years He brought me into Christian service, Christian work. And so nothing's wasted. You know, the Lord knows everything. And in His time and in His way, He will make the changes that we're praying about. This is just the last one, of course. It was mentioned, sin. This is actually a steak and eel pie, if anybody wants it. But sin, of course, for me, it wasn't the steak, it was the eel. Just waiting for you to come tonight, and there's a wee drunk man just urinating just outside. And he's staggering about. And made me just think of my own life, you know. That was what I was like at 18, you know, just staggering about, urinating in the streets, drunk, driving my motorbike when I was totally steaming, you know. And the Lord set me free. He set me free from the eel. I still like the steak. But, you know, if I'm honest tonight, you know, there are still sins in my life, you know, that I'm struggling with, grappling with. Yes, the Lord has forgiven them. Yes. The Lord is able to give me victory. Sometimes I still get disappointed in myself, and I need to come to the Lord, and I need to come and say, Lord, give me your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me in these struggles and difficulties. If you're struggling with some sin tonight, you're not alone. You're not alone. I struggle and with things as well. But here's the thing that the Lord, He wants us to give Him these things as well. The things that we're struggling with, you know. Sins hold us back, and they weigh us down, and they hinder us in the race that the Lord wants us to run. Okay, I've finished now, but I just thought I'd strip off and let you see my Scotland shirt. Sadly, you know, when the World Cup starts on the 11th of June, sadly Scotland's not going to be there, but the few Dutchmen in the orange sort of that, but I've got on my shirt. I'm James McFadden tonight. Right, okay, I've laid aside every weight when South Africa plays Mexico on the 11th of June. Scotland will not be there. I don't think I'll be there either. But, you know, here it is. I'm done. July the 11th, when in the soccer sports stadium in Johannesburg, when the best team in the world, I don't know who it'll be, when they go up on the podium to lift that golden trophy, 13.6 pounds weight of 18 karat gold with a malachite base, and when they lift that up amid all the cheers are going to go around the whole world for the best team, I don't know who it'll be, but when they lift that trophy, I'll show you a team of men that have laid aside every weight, that have trained, that have strained, that have forgot what's behind, that have gone and pressed towards the goal, and they have not let up and not given up through injuries, through pain, through bad weather, through good weather. I've gone for the goal. And now are collecting their medals and collecting that trophy. And one day, you know, the Lord is going to call you and me up. He's going to call us up to that great podium, you know. And we are going to receive. We are going to receive our golden reward that's going to be eternal, that's going to last forever. And it's going to reward us in the great company of the angels. And you and I are going to be there if we love the Lord. And that's what we've got to keep in view. Pressing through towards the goal for which, Paul says, Christ has called me heaven, or the Lord has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And here's the incentive. Here is the goal. The Lord is coming. The Lord has His rewards. And I want you to run with me. Let's run together, you know. Let's throw it all aside and let's press on. From today onwards, on this great race, forgetting what's behind and pressing on for the prize, the high calling of God in the Lord Jesus. Thank you. We're just going to pray and then have our wee 5-minute presentation. Lord, just thank you tonight for your people. Pray that we'll all be encouraged through the word tonight to lay aside, to give you the things that would hold us back, that we can run the race to the finish and receive the reward. Bless those who are hurting in a special way tonight, and may they be able to take all these pains to you. In our Lord Jesus' name.